Well, Rafe, I appreciate very much your being willing to sit down with me this afternoon and talk a little bit about Camp Kewaunee. As I mentioned, I had talked with Hal Myers on Sunday, and he mentioned a number of names and activities and programs, and then he said, by the way, have you talked with Rafe Marshall yet? And I said, no. I said, I actually don't know Rafe. And he said, well, you know, he's the son of Chief Marshall. And I said, oh, H.C. I remember H.C. when I first came to Kewaunee in 44. So he encouraged me to make contact, and I appreciate on the spur of the moment like this your being willing to give me a little bit of time to talk about the camp. As we were just getting acquainted, you were saying that that your first year at camp was 1922?
1922. Uh-huh. And we came on the train to Boston and went aboard the old Constitution and saw that ship as it was then.
Uh-huh.
Then we stayed overnight in a hotel in Portland.
I see.
And came up on the main central with all the names on the map between here and Portland.
Uh-huh.
We stopped up to the train, made it on its way up here.
Uh-huh.
The trip over from Welton, though, was most memorable.
Uh-huh.
And McIntyre was driving the stage in those days, and
uh-huh.
he was bringing numerous summer people up who stayed in the camps on up the lake here and,
oh.
and down there and were coming for the summer. And so we got acquainted with a number of the summer people right away on the ride up from Welton, like the lady who's two doors over from me in the Gray camp, Clara Gray. And her family have been coming here for 70 years or so.
Now you were, you say, what, about 18 when you came up in 22?
Yeah, 19.
Uh-huh. And so you actually were, well, that would have been about the third year of the camp. Wasn't the camp start in 20?
It was really started in 21.
21.
And they started laying the plans in 20. 21 was the first year that boys were here from New Jersey and Columbus. And we had quite a few boys from Maine, from Wilton boys like
good.
the Bass boys from the Bass factory.
Uh-huh.
We had quite a number of Portland boys here too at the time. I can't recall the names of those Portland boys. Sometime it might come back.
Sure, sure. Well, that's fine. As we're talking, probably a few names will continue to come back. Now, was there, were there any cabins then, or were they all, did you stay in tents primarily?
No, the cabins had been built. There were four cabins the first year I was here.
Uh-huh.
Two on each side of the
big dining hall?
I think. Of course, I may be wrong. It may have been that there were only those on this side of the main hall towards the...
Do you remember the names? Were they like Eagle and Falcon? Or hadn't George and Raymond given names to them?
Yes, but which names went first, I don't recall.
Well, that's quite all right. So therefore, there were probably, what, about six or eight boys in each cabin then?
That's right. Yeah.
So we were talking about a camp maybe with 50 or 40 to 50... campers, and were about half of them from Ohio, or were all of them from Ohio? How did Raymond Frank fit in? You know, later on he began having boys come from New Jersey, and I was wondering whether that was
Brought boys from his church association in New Jersey the first year. And as I say, in 1922 they were almost evenly divided between the Columbus boys and the New Jersey boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a fifth of the camp were Maine boys.
I see. What about the counselors? Do you recall any of the other, the names of any of the other counselors those first few years?
Mike Pepe is the first name.
Mike Pepe, the swimming coach. Because,
he was the swimming coach at Ohio State.
Yeah, I remember him.
He and I were in the same class at Ohio State.
Is that right?
We graduated in the class of 1927.
Terrific. Gosh, that's a real pleasure for me to know you, because I always was just a great admirer of Mike Pepe's, and I swim a mile 3 days a week. Still, I love swimming, so you can. That's wonderful. Well, so Mike was up here as a counselor.
Yeah. Mike was here, as a counselor, and there were a number of, I can't remember the names of all of those early counselors. If you want to shut the machine off, I might have an early book that they.
I think as you were saying there about your catalog, but maybe you mentioned about Baldwin, who played
taps. Yeah, Marshall Baldwin.
Marshall
played
Baldwin.
The trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Played taps at night. Was a very, very nice trumpeter. In fact, we had numerous really outstanding musicians, like Ray Frank had sung in the musical shows.
On Broadway?
On Broadway, and he attracted a number of men that were good singers.
I see.
As well as athletes.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of fellows from Springfield College in Massachusetts who were athletes. Their names don't come to my mind at this moment, but were also had nice voices.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my dad, who was a singer and enjoyed singing almost all of his life.
And you were mentioning that Reverend Sweet then, I guess they called him Colonel Sweet as time went along. I know somebody said that was kind of his nickname, was also, came up for the first year.
Yeah, that's a new one to me. I ain't never heard that. We always called him Pat.
Pat, all right.
And he had two boys, Ed and Sid. Sid was on a rowing team at Yale for a couple of years. Ed was on the rowing team.
Actually, maybe, I'm getting confused too. Maybe it was Sid Sweet that went into the ministry that was called Colonel. I'm not sure it was the father.
That could be.
That sounds more like it.
There was a year in the 30s, let's see, that would have been 1932, maybe, 31, mm-hmm. that we had... Sid Sweet was my junior counselor.
I see.
We had a nice lodge then with a Louis Benua from Columbus, who was a Benua brass people.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, smart boy too.
Mm-hmm. I had some of his sons during my. I knew some of his sons during my period as a counselor and as a camper. At Kewaunee too, so I guess he's been a long time loyal supporter. Well, now after 22, then did you continue coming up, Rafe, each year, or like 23, 24?
Well, let's see. At 23, I stayed home and worked in Jeffrey Manufacturing Company.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Then 24, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, I was here.
And
then I stayed. That was my last year at Kewaunee, 34 as a counselor. Yeah.
What area were you involved in during your counseling years?
My first experience was building a crystal radio set. It was the very beginning of broadcast radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been running a ham station at home for some years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had collected some material and we had the boys build some crystal sets.
Mm-hmm.
But being completely surrounded by mountains as we are here, mm-hmm. we never heard a peep.
Oh, is that right? After all that, that was too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I taught, had charge of the rifle range.
Oh, you did.
for 10 or 12 years, and I taught riding. We had had a few horses. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, was I guess that's where maybe one time your name came up recently, was in reference to the rifle range. Did Howell Wendell take over the rifle range from you, or what do you recall whether there was anyone else that...
Ross Miller helped me on the rifle range, and he was my right-hand man when we went on riding trips for 2 or 3 days.
I see.
Ross Miller took over.
Do you recall when Ross first came up? Would you have any idea about when he would have first come to camp? Because he was there, you see, when I came in the 40s. And I knew his younger son, Dick, very well.
An offhand guess would be 25.
25, you think? Yeah. He was very early in this too. Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. Now, I guess coming from Ohio, do you have any particular early remembrances of G.R. Frank, what his interests were, how
G.R. was interested in the wood shop.
In the wood shop.
Building model boats, and he was interested in boats, and the Naphtha launch boats of the 20s were a very interesting breed of boats, and George was always interested in boats, and loved to have boys come and build the model sailboats in his shop. Mm-hmm. That was one of his greatest pleasures.
Mm-hmm. I've, a few pictures that are on the wall in the dining hall show the boys making the kayak type of boat, and I didn't realize that that would have been such a strong interest of his.
And Fred Heimberger, did you?
Yes.
You've talked with him, I'm sure.
No, I did not have a chance to before he passed away. And I wish I would have, because I had seen him around. My wife and I had seen him going into one of the stores here in Weld, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I never did. I knew, of course, of him very much, and I had seen some early pictures of him in the camp. So again, any memories of Fred Heimberger would, of course, be interesting, too.
He built a snipe. Sailboat from parts that were shipped, I think maybe from Michigan. I don't remember whether it ever sailed or not.
I think we had it for a while. I remember the old snipe.
But I'm sure that it did, because Fred was a nice, careful workman. He was a good man to get along with too. He was a good organizer, and he was the kind of man that the camp had always stood for. He had a beautiful house up on the Mount Blue Road, I think.
Yes, a friend of mine bought that.
Maybe it's the Temple Road.
Uh-huh.
Might be interesting to remember that Ma Frank was born in Temple.
Oh, is that right? No, I didn't realize that.
And then she and her husband lived in Portland.
Yes.
And they... came up here with the first years of the camp. I remember Pop Frank working on the road like we've been doing over here. And Ma Frank always had a tent, and then they later a nice cabin built right on the main street in Kewanee, where the little boys who needed a mother it could come, and she always had her cabin full of kids that she was bandaging a cut or something like that. Was a really great asset to the kids.
I remember, I guess it was just the last few years that she was around. I came in 44, and she was still, had Ma Frank's cabin there, as you say, and she darn socks and all that. And I guess earlier years, I understand she did the sales, some of the sales for the shop boys as they finished their sailboats and things like that. So
she was
all kinds of helpful things like that. I was thinking of anyone else, of course, in 27, Bob Corey came, he mentioned.
Yeah, I remember.
And I guess David
Bob
then had come in 26, Dave Corey came.
Yeah.
And are there any other kinds of incidents, again, going back to GR just for a minute, that you remember, any kinds of happenings? There was the king of what was it now? There was the king of someone that predates the Duke of Zanzibar, and I know Hal Myers got into that into the 30s about the pranks and some of the activities of the boys, which of course is always a part of camp.
Taking the new campers on the snipe hunts.
Yes,
right. Back in the hills.
Right, right. And so let's see then, were there any other names that I'm trying to think of? What about your memory of Raymond Frank? Did you have any particular reasons to work with him there at camp, or were there any certain times? You've mentioned, of course, his great love for music.
Yeah, he had a beautiful voice, and mm-hmm. he was always a lovely singer. And,
uh-huh.
and he loved the mountain trips too. I went on the climb up Mount Washington with Raymond.
Uh-huh.
That we had a Model T Ford half-ton truck. But everybody had to get out and push going up most of
right?
the hills.
Well, that's interesting. So this was now Mount Tumbledown, they were saying, or
Washington.
Mount Washington.
Yeah, this was
uh-huh.
a week trip.
Now, did you go up Mount Tumbledown and the Mount Blue trips? Were those going, or were there certain canoe trips going?
There were trips up Mount Tumbledown. About every clear Saturday or Sunday afternoon,
uh-huh.
or any real nice day, a group might say, gee, we'd like to go up one of the mountains. And,
uh-huh.
and there was always...
Did they have levels or some sort of award program to kind of encourage the boys to get involved right away in 22 when you came up, do you recall?
I don't remember when the Maroons and the Grays
right.
were the
right.
two teams were formed. I don't remember, but I'm sure that was during the 20s.
Uh-huh.
And they picked out some outstanding leader or some outstanding boy in the 15-year-old range, maybe,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, who had outstanding athletic ability usually,
uh-huh.
or outstanding social ability.
Uh-huh.
And so those two teams would be organized, and half of the campers would be Maroons and the other half would be Grays. And
uh-huh.
everything that you did earned you points.
Uh-huh.
You succeeded in making the 50-foot swim,
uh-huh.
then you got awarded or rewarded as a beginning swimmer. And there were levels of swimming all the way from the 50-foot to the Bass Rock swim.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I can remember rowing more than once with a Bass Rock swimmer.
Is that right? Uh-huh.
Talking him across the lake.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's only been quite recently that we've had all the infusion of regulations.
Uh-huh.
Like my neighbor went out in his canoe a few days ago, and he didn't get 100 yards. And the game board said, let me see your life jacket.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
No life jacket? $50.
Is that right?
That's getting away from camp.
No, well, that's good though, because I know they do. They have been looking at that sort of thing there at camp. Right, the boys, you know, have their life jackets, and I have a little kayak now, and I wear a life jacket, and when I bought it last year, they came with it, so I can understand what you're saying, and that has had an effect on camp because safety regulations and health regulations. It's DeCamp had 104, has 145 boys in it this year. It's the most they've ever had.
That's a big camp.
Yes, and so of course when you multiply numbers, it's harder to keep track and keep all the activities going. We went to a campfire and it got to be 9:15, 9:30. I think finally at 10 o'clock they had read off all of the awards because it's near the end of the season and the boys have been able to finally work off their requirements. And so the camp is a big camp now, but you still have people like the fellow here, Steve Yale, that you heard on here, coming all the way from California after having been away for 2 years and wanting to see his friends and spend a week at Kewaunee to do some of the fun things, because he was co-director of activities in 83 and 84.
Yeah.
And so he was really, you know, in there. That's another thing which maybe you could certainly touch on if you would. Your dad was so much into directing the camp and in being the director of activities for so many years. Are there certain memories you have as a younger boy in those early years of how your dad felt about the camp, or what he was particularly involved in as far as activities go?
Well, Dad, as a school man, was used to organizing and putting together schedules of classes and getting the best people working on the jobs that they were best at.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of his principal jobs. And you always had to have a rainy weather program in hand,
mm-hmm.
so that you had something for the boys to do that wasn't too dull.
You're right.
When it was pouring like it has been up here for the last couple of weeks. And another one of Dad's particular jobs was helping the two Frank boys, George and Raymond,
uh-huh.
get together on the things that they were both positive about but opposite,
uh-huh.
and had to compromise. And Dad was a very great help to the camp in uh-huh. that respect, because he was a politician.
Uh-huh.
He knew the importance of compromise in order to keep the whole organization going. And,
uh-huh.
and he got along very well with both Raymond and Jordan.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I would say that, well, that was one of his greatest assets to the camp.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's very good. And something I think that's good for the record, because one pictures in their mind two younger men trying to form a camp, and it, in a sense, your dad was
He had already had two summers of camp experience. Had been at two different boys' camps before that. He was uh-huh. in a camp up in the White Mountains.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the name of it now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Right. Well, he was also an ardent tennis player, too, wasn't he?
Yes, he enjoyed tennis.
And mountain climbing, was he into that?
He climbed Mount Katahdin when he was 75.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I think that was more of a stunt today than anything else. When I was 75, my knees were not up to climbing mountains.
Uh-huh. Right, so at least he was in great shape and managed to get through it. That's remarkable.
In fact, he skated in the ice show at Troy, Ohio, 6 weeks before he died.
Is that right? Now, how old was H.C. when he passed away?
93.
93, and that would, what year would that have been, do you think? I never had,
That's close, anyway.
Yeah,
it was in that.
Well, that's remarkable. I'm still looking for those tapes that I interviewed him, in the mid-50s on the high school, junior high school movement.
Yeah, but that'll be interesting. He had some positive ideas about
a lot of things. He was very helpful. Let's see now. I'm trying to think of any other counselors.
Mike Savelle?
Yes, that's one that I have heard of. Would you give me your impressions?
I love Mike Savelle. He was a dynamic, magnetic personality. The boys loved him. One time, Dad and a couple of other counselors that went on the trip up Mount Tumbledown. And this must have been in 22 or 24, I don't know which. But the fogs came in from the lake up there, and they decided that it wasn't safe to come back down. But Pat Sweet's wife was along with them. And he came and got me up about maybe 11 o'clock and said he was pretty worried. I said, well, do you want to go up the mountain? And so he decided maybe that was a good thing to do.
This was 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, right. So I stuck a flashlight in my hip pocket and off we went.
My gosh. Did you find them up there? Whatever happened?
Yeah, they were in the woods down 200 yards from the top.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
The top was, at that time, the top was all clear because there'd been a bad forest fire. Just a few years before that had cleaned off the top. But as you started down, though, the woods was good and solid, and and they had come down, as I say, only about 200 yards. And they were sitting around, and the first thing they wanted to know, did we bring anything to eat?
I can believe it. They hadn't had anything since lunch, I suppose. Maybe some peanut butter sandwiches and oranges or something like that.
That's the only time that Pat Sweet ever went near a mountain.
Is that right?
We went up. I had been up that trail within maybe a week before.
I see.
And I had that trail, and we went up that trail that night just like it was the main highway.
Now, was this the Parker Ridge or the Brook Trail?
Yeah, Parker Ridge. I think that's what they call it. It's the one that starts and goes along the brook for a long ways.
Yeah, and then goes and branches off. It's hard, you know, to picture how things might have been here on this lake in 1922 or 23. And so it's interesting. I think the fact that they got the land down at the tip of the lake and have kept it rather rustic has really been an asset.
There was only one camp on the other side of the lake, the whole other side of the lake from Thornhills down. There was only one other camp, and that was Dr. York's, right at the little peninsula that sticks out at West Brook. He had a beautiful place there. And a couple of the typical 1920 naphtha launches, you know, chug.
That would have been interesting. You know, people talk about Sunday Beach, you know, how it got its name, with the boys going down on Sunday or Saturday to get ready for Sunday by taking baths and everything. And do you remember when the fort was built? Was it built in the late 20s or early 30s when they had the, what we call the fort, you know, the boys?
Well, no. Mm-hmm. Well, my guess would have been around about 24.
When
it became so-called modernized. The first few years I was in camp, we had a kerosene lantern, one lantern in each lodge. And then the electricity came through from Farmington. That was around 25, 26. Exact days, I wouldn't know.
So those were the beginning days. I know, I don't know whether that was an exaggeration, but I remember hearing the tale that when the toilets were first installed in the fort, that people came from miles around to look at these in the fort because they hadn't seen them before. But anyway, the Sunday Beach idea Now, Skookumee Beach, you recall that across the from Sunday Beach there, there's another little beach called Skookumee.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with
that. That wasn't there.
I know where the beach is, uh-huh. But I wasn't familiar with the name.
Now, the activities were mainly then sailing, swimming, rifle
sailing
range.
Sailing was not the first. It's only been in recent years that sailing has become an important function.
I see.
We had one or two sailboats there, but they were frowned on.
Uh-huh.
And nobody was allowed out of the cove area.
Uh-huh.
Nobody was allowed out into the lake with a sailboat.
Uh-huh.
Except with very special permission.
I see. Uh-huh.
They bought that sailboat with the Seagull, is that what
yes,
they
yes,
it? Yeah.
Right. Your memory's good.
I remember that boat. It was a nice boat, but it took an act of God to get to sail it out of the cove.
Yeah, they were very, very particular about that. Was that came then sometime in the 20s that they got the Seagull?
Yeah, I would say 28.
Getting back now to Bob Corey. Did you ever do much or know Bob very well? He said he started coming in 27, 28, 29. I guess maybe 31 might have been his last year as a camper, and then I guess he came back in 36 as a counselor, and then in 44. So I didn't know whether your paths had crossed very much or not.
Not all that much.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. What about Hal Myers? He would have probably been much younger than you. Do you recall much about working with him?
I don't remember anything really. I remember the name. I remember that he was part of the camp.
Uh-huh. And let me see, I was just thinking of any other names of individuals.
I remember the Bass Boys real well.
Oh, good.
There was George. George was interested in horses. And
uh-huh.
In fact, one year George brought a pony over.
Uh-huh.
If you ever try to ride a pony, bareback, he was round as could be, uh-huh. And bucked like a mule, or bucked like a bucking horse. I think.
Uh-huh.
And we used to get fellas say, "Oh, I can stay on anything, you know."
Uh-huh.
And they get aboard this pony and off they came.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He brought this pony up maybe 2 years.
I see. Well, then there was, of course, baseball. You probably played a good deal of baseball, did you, in those early years?
Every Saturday after supper, the senior counselor would beat the junior counselor.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, okay. And
the junior counselors, of course, were all, they were all full of fire and thunder, but almost always the senior counselors could win the game.
You had a good crew probably of younger men who were the senior counselors.
Well, there were quite a few fellows that weren't all that young that
oh, really?
That had played baseball all their lives.
Uh-huh. Was Bob Duffy? Does that name ring a bell? He was in tennis at Bexley High and has passed away. But I know he came up in the 40s and 50s when I was around, and I just was wondering just when Bob's first year really was.
I wouldn't know.
That name doesn't ring a bell.
I visited camp very little after I stopped coming as a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And I say 34 was my last year.
Last year, so. Well, I think
I've been coming to Maine good many years since then, every opportunity until after I retired, then we bought this place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're very fortunate. I think it's wonderful. What about canoeing? Was canoeing something that you
canoeing is one of, my dad was very enthusiastic about canoeing. We belonged to the Columbus Canoe Club, Mm-hmm. We used to go on those spring trips when they shipped the canoes up to Delaware and came down the down the river. And so he had taught me to handle a canoe quite well. Mm-hmm. Canoeing was, of course, one of the major activities of the camp. It was interesting to watch the kids on their first trips. Mm-hmm. You know, you paddle on this side and it goes away from you, and then, then you swing the paddle over and you paddle the other side, and you sit way in the back seat with the front end sticking up so the least little air blows the canoe
off course.
It isn't until after you learn how to get in the middle of the canoe to paddle that you can really handle a canoe in any sort of weather.
Well, the Chain of Ponds was one area that we went to in the 40s, and there's the Kennebec River. Do you recall participating or being involved in any of those kinds of trips?
I went on a canoe trip down the Androscoggin.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember in detail except that we put the canoes in somewhere up in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm, I see. Down that.
I have some pictures of it that are 60 some years old, but details I don't remember. I think Ray Frank was in charge of that trip.
So he was into that.
Yeah.
What about the coming of the chief? You know, it's something that they're going to be having the going of the chief coming up later on this week, and they're choosing their sachems.
Yeah,
and of course, your dad was the original chief.
I think he wrote the original script for the chief. Yeah. He had quite a kick out of it. He was quite a ham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's an old tradition that's been continued.
It makes a very, very nice story, and especially you get the younger kids, seven, 8 year olds, and when you come up here on the train and then on the stage from Wilton or Dixfield, believe me, you're way out, and the country looked awful wild.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? There were more natives living around here then than there are now.
Mm-hmm.
The Saturday night dance at the Well Town Hall, and even the old one that was over in the woods, was always very well attended.
Yes, I remember that, you know, in the 40s and 50s. I'm sorry that sort of thing had to be canceled, you know, with some of the troubles they had then, I guess, in the 60s. Yeah, the old square dance. I know, I remember my wife and I were first married 4 months. We both were teaching school, so this was really our honeymoon. We came up in 1960 and went to the square dancing in the town hall there.
Would you like to go down and see if we can find Chuck Wendell?
Well, we could do that. If there are any other remarks, I'd just like to thank you very much, Ray, for getting together with us here on this August 7th, I guess it is, isn't it? The August 1986, to talk about camp of many years gone by.
Yeah.